This is Pastor Mike Parks welcoming you to Church 180's weekly radio broadcast, Turn Your Life Around. It is our prayer that through the word we are about to share, that you would be encouraged, enlightened, and empowered to get your life on track through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Let's get right into the message this week. I hope it's a blessing.
See, we're talking about not religion, but a relationship. And I know that if you've sat under my teaching for very long, you know I'm not a theologian. I didn't even go to seminary. I went to Shawnee State University. They didn't teach Bible there. They taught business. And that's what I went to school for. But however, I do have some Godology. You know, I went to Niue University. Some of you will get that in a minute. I bought one book from the bookstore. I didn't have to have a lot of other books for this. And that's how I got to know God, is by prayer and reading the Bible. But see, because of man's sin, there's a disconnect between God and man. You know, God, the Bible says in the beginning, God created heaven and the earth, and he made man, and he gave the earth to man. And God would come down, the Bible says, in the cool of the evening and walk in the garden and talk with Adam. God had a relationship with Adam from the very beginning. God walked with Adam and Eve and talked with them in the garden. And God loved this. God loved having a relationship with his most prized creation. But then one day, as you guys know the story, the serpent came along and he beguiled Eve. He deceived Eve and got her to eat the fruit. And then she turned around and offered it to her husband, and he took it and he ate it. And at that point, there was a disconnect, because that was sin. Sin is rebellion against God, by the way. If you want to know the definition of sin, is rebelling against what God said or doing something opposite of what God wants us to do. That's sin. And so when Adam sinned, there was a disconnect, or if you want to do something with the picture, kind of picture like the Grand Canyon, but starting out being nothing and then opening up into this big, great big gulf, or this great big chasm, if you will, that separated God and man. And that's what sin did. But how many of you know that 2,000 years ago, God took two beams and three nails? Amen. And he built a bridge to cover that gap. How many of you know that 2,000 years ago, God built a bridge, that Jesus is that bridge, and he is the only way? So this morning I want to talk to you. We've talked about God as a spirit. We talked about how God is love. God is jealous. God is a fire. God is Father last week. This week we want to talk about why God is the Son. Jesus was the only way to God. And so here's my question to you this morning is, why did God come in the form of a son, or as Jesus referred to himself, Son of Man? And so we're going to explore that, but I'm going to sit. Now listen, before you all judge, I'm going to make a statement, but hear out the whole statement before you start judging what I say right here at first. Do you realize that in what we call the beginning of the earth, God already existed? Do you understand there is no beginning and no end with God? And you know that God is made up of three parts, but it was not the Son. It's not Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. No, that happened 2,000 years ago. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 5 that there are three that bear record in heaven. It is the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And then we find out in St. John chapter 1 verse 1 that in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Right? We find out that it was the Word, not Jesus. Now, understand, Jesus is the Word, but we're going to get to that, okay? But before 2,000 years ago, it was not Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. It was Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. I got more Bible proof if you want to know it. In Genesis chapter 1, it says, in the beginning, God created heaven and the earth, and the earth was void and without form. And it says, the Spirit hovered over the face of the deep. So we know where the Father was, and we know where the Holy Spirit was. But it doesn't mention Jesus, but it does say, let us make man in our image. So what was Jesus? But if you just read on, it says, and God said. So even at the beginning of the book, you find the Father. What did God say? Words. So you find the Word, and you find them in heaven, and you find the Holy Spirit on the face of the earth doing what God said. Amen? So do you understand that from the total existence of this earth, it was not Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. It was Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. Do you understand? So the question this morning is, why did Jesus come? Why did God come in the form of a son who we know as Jesus? We're going to explore that this morning. Amen. So boy, there's still people cringing. I can feel it. He said there was no Jesus. No, there was Word. Jesus is the word. Amen. All right. So then we know in St. John chapter 1, verse 14, it says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And that's when it became the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Do you understand? Okay. So with that being said, the question is, why did he come in the form of Son? The first one is because mankind needed a man to pay the price for man's sin. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. See, you understand, Jesus paid a price that we could not pay. Do you understand that if Jesus hadn't come, that we would all pay the price for our sins? But what you need to understand, and that is death. That's what death is. Death is the price of sin. But do you understand you would only have paid the price for your sin, and it wouldn't have got you heaven? We're going to talk about that here in a minute, why it wouldn't have got you heaven. But you would have paid the price for your sin, ultimately, with your death. But Sister Janice, as much as you love that daughter of yours, as much as you think the world of her, as much as you think she's the greatest thing on this earth to you, you could not pay the price for her because you're not good enough. Because you're not, no matter how good. And listen, of all the people in this church, Sister Janice is a pretty good lady. Amen. You know, she lives a good life and she tries her best. And she, you know, she's really close. And, you know, and Brother Purden, I tell you right now, he gets mad when I do this. But you know what? He's as close to perfect as you come on this earth. He's, of course, saying, no, I'm not. But no matter how good we are, we're not good enough. But see, for it to pay the price for man's sin, it had to be a man. It had to be a human. It had to be somebody in the form of a man to pay man's sin. Because it would not have been fair. I want you to understand. And I challenge you. I don't have time this morning to go into this. But read the book of Hebrews. And it says, and remember when I told you all the reason the devil hates us is because Jesus never died for him? Because God didn't come in the form of an angel and redeem angels. He came in the form of man and redeemed man. But both were creations of God. That's actually found in Hebrews. I found it. I thought I was just saying something cool. I thought, man, that was good stuff. Turns out it's in the Bible. Who would have thought? But it actually says Jesus didn't come in the form of an angel. He came in the form of man. The reason he came in the form of man was because there had to be a man pay the price for mankind's sin. There had to be a man who paid the price. But see, that's the thing. None of us was good enough. None of us were good enough. He paid a price we could not pay. Because even though Sister Janice would give everything she could to save that girl, she's not good enough. But Jesus was good enough to save Janice, that girl, that guy, that every one of us that's sitting in this room, everyone in this world that ever was, everyone in this world that will ever be, Jesus was good enough, and he was a man. Now see, but he wasn't just man. He was also God. How he was God and how he was man was the fact that he had a human mother and he had God the Father. Now, I'm going to tell you something. When I was doing my studies, I'm just going to make this, you know, I realize I'm dealing with people of all levels of faith. So I'm going to make this really clear so you don't walk out of here thinking something crazy. God and Mary didn't do anything. I'm just going to make it clear. God spoke, same way he created the earth, same way he created everything on the earth. God spoke a word to Mary. It was delivered by the angel Gabriel. She said, be it unto me as thou hast said, words. And boom, she received what God's promise was. Do you understand? It was the word of God. It was the word, and that's it. And it was the word that became flesh. So do you understand if that's how Jesus was able to be man and how he was able to be God? Because he had a human body. He had human organs. He had human blood pumping through his veins. But it was special blood. Because it was sinless, it was spotless. And we're going to talk about that next. So the second reason. So the number one reason is that we talked about is because man needed to have a price paid for his sins. Second reason was to be able to To pay that price, he had to be spotless and without blemish. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 says, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Jesus was the spotless, perfect Lamb of God, the spotless, perfect sacrifice of mankind. See, for God, and see what you understand. See, the people, I don't know why English people, King James's people, try to make this so hard to understand and wrote Old Testament and New Testament in your Bible. It should say Old Covenant and New Covenant. Matter of fact, if you look up the word Testament, it means covenant. It's what it means. But instead of making it simple for you, they put in the word Testament. Okay, New Testament does not mean a type of book. New Testament means New Covenant. And for God to cut covenant that was going to last forever, see, if he cut it with the man, man would break it. And how many of you know we talked about covenant? We're going to talk about it even more this summer. How many of you know that if you break covenant, you die? So for the covenant, the contract, covenant is contract signed in blood. For those of you who want to catch up, covenant signed in blood, not ketchup though. It's not signed in ketchup, it's signed in blood. For the contract signed in blood to last forever, it had to be with a man who would not sin. It had to be with a man who wouldn't break it. It had to be with a man who wasn't going to, because God wasn't going to end up making it bad on his side. So the first point was he paid a price we couldn't pay. The second one is he lived a life we couldn't live. The reason why God came in the form of a man was to live a life we couldn't live. See, no matter how hard we try, and here's the good news. The good news is if you try really hard, you can get close. The Bible says there's a place in God in the same book of Hebrews where the wicked one touches you not. That means what that means is the sin that he tries to get you to commit, you can get away from those. The sin you got to deal with is yours, yourself. Honest to goodness, I don't deal with cussing. I don't deal with that. Not a temptation for me whatsoever. I can go to Kroger and I can go through the aisle of Kroger and I can walk down the beer and wine aisle and I'm not tempted to taste it. I never have tasted it. Not going to start. I told you all I like NyQuil. No, I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. Had NyQuil one time. Never again. Okay. But I'm not tempted. I'm not tempted. I don't see people pull out a prescription bottle out of their purse and think, "Ooh, wonder what that is." You see what I'm saying? I don't deal with those kind of temptations. But I deal with things like anger. I deal with things like selfishness. There is a place where the wicked one doesn't touch me, but man, I'm still here. You understand? But you can work hard. You're never going to get it perfect. Listen, let me just take you off the hook right now. You're never going to get it perfect. You're never going to do it total, but you should try. All God's looking for is effort. All God's looking for is for you to give it your best shot. And when you, the Bible says, and when you sin, confess it. And he's faithful and just to forgive you of that sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You understand? God is faithful. It means he never fails to. So number one, he came to pay a price we couldn't pay. Number two, he came to live a life we couldn't live. Number three, the number three reason that he came as man was to show us a God we could not see. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. He is the image of the invisible God. Now, to show him St. John 14, verses 8 and 9. Philip said unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." Fancy, easy word for me to say. Makes us happy, is what it says. Jesus says unto him, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father?" So number one, he came to pay a price we could not pay. He came to live a life we could not live. And he came to show us a God we could not see. You understand that he is the image of the invisible God. Everything that people want to say, "Well, I wish I knew." Well, how is God? Well, look at Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Look to Jesus. You want to know about God? Look to Jesus. Look how Jesus handled things, and that's how God's going to handle them. Look at how Jesus acted with compassion on people who were down, and that's how God is. Do you understand? The psalmist David had it right. He said, you are full of mercy and truth. You are full of mercy and faithfulness. You are full of grace. Jesus is the image of the Father. You want to know the Father? Look to the Son. I never will forget. I don't even know if Dad remembers this. We were going to, which Ness is Kneehammer? What's his first name? Kneehammer? Norman. All right. Anyway, see, I don't know him as Kneehammer. That's his nickname. I think he hit himself in the knee with a hammer one time. That's what happened? Yeah, he hit himself in the... But Kneehammer's a friend of my dad. And one time, I remember I was about 12 years old. And we went to visit him. Dad used to work with him. And we went to visit him. And his father at the time was alive. And as Dad was walking up the driveway where we parked toward the house, that older man spoke up and said, well, that has to be Delbert Parks' son, just from the way he walks. That's what the old man Ness said. See, I don't know why I remember that as a 12-year-old, but I do. And because if you want to see how the Father is, look to the Son, because the apple don't fall far from the tree. Amen? But see, with Jesus, the apple was the tree. Some of y'all, I am the vine, you are the branches. You'll get it in a minute. So you, because the three are one. Jesus was the tree and the apple. Amen. And the seed. You understand? Man, he was all of it. All three in one. But see, Jesus came to show us an invisible God. He came to show us the invisible God. You know, and like I showed you, like the 1 week when we talked about God being first, how that God is so easily pushed behind our relationships. Because why? Because he's not seen. You know, out of sight, out of mind, the old saying is. And it's hard for us to picture, but it's not hard. You can go any store, go to Hobby Lobby, and there's pictures of Jesus. You can get pictures of Jesus. Now, whether they're accurate or not, I don't know. No one knows. No one alive today knows what Jesus looked like. But here's the point. Through what we read, though, in the Word, through how the stories that have been told about Jesus, you know what the greatest thing, you know what I love about Jesus? Do you really want one of the things I love about Jesus? No one denies he existed. No one denies he existed. Now, people deny that he's the Son of God. Even the Muslims call him the anointed prophet. I mean, they don't deny he existed, and they don't deny his power. See, I love that, because that's just even more proof that he's real. Do you understand? You know, and you can go to an empty tomb in Jerusalem. You understand? I mean, and here's the other cool part. I mean, how could someone, one man's story last for 2,000 years and make such an impact? Because even though numbers are dwindling in churches all across this country, people are meeting in houses of worship to talk about this same man, Jesus. You understand? He was awesome. He was powerful. He was all these things, but he was the image of the Father. You want to know how the Father was? Look to Jesus. You know, I was just trying this morning to come up with all the different names the Bible has for Jesus. The Prince of Peace, the Bright Morning Star, the Fairest of 10,000. He's the Author and Finisher. He's the Way, the Truth, the Life. He's the Bread of Life. He's the Light of the World. He's the Door. He's the Shepherd. Amen. He's the true, he's the vine, and we're the branches. You understand? He's all of this, all everything I just said is Jesus. This is what the Bible calls you. He's a Savior. He's a healer. You understand? He's a deliverer. We're going to talk about that next. You understand? He's all these things. What you have to understand is all those things are the reason those are words were given is to describe the Father to us. He is the image of the invisible God. So number one, he came to pay a price we could not pay. He came as a man. He came as the Son of Man. He came as Son to pay a price we could not pay, right? To live a life we could not live, and for us to see a God, to show us a God we could not see. The fourth thing he did, and this was another thing we couldn't do, he came to defeat an enemy we could not defeat. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death, he might destroy him that had power of death, that is, the devil. Colossians tells us that he took the handwriting of the ordinance that were written against us and nailed them to his cross, making an open show of them publicly, humiliating the devil. You understand? Jesus came and defeated an enemy we could not defeat. Adam and Eve. Now, I want you to understand this. Adam and Eve, now, you understand, he tricked them, and what they did was they gave him. He didn't steal nothing from Adam and Eve. He came to steal. That he didn't steal it. They gave it. You understand? That's where the sin was. He gave it. He gave the man gave authority to the devil freely. That's why it hurt God so much. But the enemy, but once that happened, once he had authority, once he had power, he began to run rampant. And just read what happened in the generations from Adam to Noah. Just read what happened in just those few generations from Adam to Noah. Noah was like Adam's great-grandson. Like, not very many, maybe great-great, but not very many generations Noah wasn't from Adam. And the Bible says that man was so bad, that sin was so rampant in the days of Noah, that God repented that he ever made mankind. That's what the Bible says. And we know the story. God flooded the earth to get rid of all the sin. And he gave Noah a brand new start. But guess what happened? Noah had a wild son. And sin just kept right on spreading again. And then we read from the generations of Noah to Sodom and Gomorrah. How evil and how bad those two cities were. And God ended up destroying them because of their sin. Do you understand? Because man, once the devil took control, man's going to sin. It's going to happen. And here's the really sad part. If you notice what that scripture says, in the verse right before the one he's showing, it says, and give them power over death. See, because once he took the power of sin, sin brings death, he had the power of death, hell, and the grave. And then he came to steal, he came to kill, and he came to destroy. And he began to steal and kill and destroy. And he began to run rampant all over this earth. But God had a plan. Do you understand? God had a plan, and he sent his son, Jesus. His word came down and became flesh and dwelt among us. And that flesh lived a sinless life. That flesh lived a life we could not live. And he paid the price we could not pay. But while he was in the grave, the Bible says he went down and all the people who were held captive. He says he took captivity captive. Now that's the King James meaning took all those captive people and he captured them. You understand? He went down into hell, into the grave, and he said to them, the one you've all heard about, I'm him. If you believe it, follow me. Amen? And then he turned around to the devil and said, give me the keys. And he took the keys to death, hell, and the grave. And then the Bible says he went up into the heavens, into the mercy seat, and offered himself before God and sprinkled his blood on the mercy seat of heaven. And when he did that, all those people who were held captive, so what he did was he delivered every sin that was ever committed before he came as man. And then his blood was also strong enough to forgive every sin that was ever going to happen after. But we must have a relationship through that blood. It's through that blood we come. It's through that blood we get to the Father. He's the way, the truth, and life. And the only way to get to the Father is through the blood. Do you understand? The only way to get to the Father is through the blood. You have to have accepted Christ as your Savior. But when you do you understand? When you do, you can have a relationship with the creator of this world. You can have a relationship with the Almighty God, the Prince of Peace, the bright and the morning star. You can have the one who is love, a relationship with him, the one who is peace. Do you understand? The Bible says peace with passes all understanding. The Bible says joy unspeakable and full of glory. Do you understand that you can have all these things? And as the old announcer used to say, if the price is right. But I'm here to tell you it's because the price has been paid. So he came to pay a price we could not pay. He came as a son. He came to live a life we could not live. He came to show us a God we could not see. And he came to defeat an enemy we could not defeat. That's why God came as the Son. And here's the thing. I'm going to tell you right now, that what you saw this morning, that was the Holy Ghost. Okay? Don't be afraid of it. It ain't spooky. The Bible talks about when we stand before God judgment. And the judge is going to be the Father. Do you understand? And you're going to be the defendant. The prosecutor is the devil. Do you understand? This is all Bible. Everything I'm telling you right now is Bible. The devil is the accuser of the brethren, the Bible says. So he's going to go before God and say, Greg did this, or Sky did that, or Thad did this, Mike did that. You know what? And he's going to be telling the truth, even though he's a big liar. He's going to be telling the truth. But what you're going to do at that point, if you know him and have a relationship with the attorney, because the defense attorney is not Johnny Cochran. You understand? Or Lee, whatever his name was. It's Jesus. And you're going to look over to Jesus. And Jesus is going to say, excuse me, Your Honor, but his price has been paid. He's going to look at the Father and say, I know him. And the Father's going to be like, you know what? I know him too. Dismissed. Come on into heaven. Do you understand? Wow, isn't it something? This is just now coming to me. And Joey, I'm getting ready to close. If you want to come on up and start. This just occurred to me, Sister Janice. Do you realize if you don't have a relationship, you know how the people said, but God, didn't we do this and that in your name? Didn't we do that in your name? They were speaking for themselves. Where was their attorney? Isn't it a proverb, a worldly proverb, that only a fool represents himself in court? Only a fool represents himself in court. Why didn't they let the attorney speak? Because they didn't know one. The Bible says Jesus Christ is an advocate for us. See, what I want to challenge you to this morning, it's one thing to believe in Jesus. It's one thing to believe in Jesus, and that's a good thing. All right, I want to make that clear. Believing in Jesus is a good thing. But when I read Matthew 7, I wonder if believing in Jesus is enough. I'm not saying it is or it isn't. But Matthew 7 makes it sound like we better, more than just believe, we better know him. I'm not a judge. I'm not the judge. So I'm not going to sit here and say whether believing on Jesus, you get in or not. But what I do know is when I read Matthew 7, I think to myself, I better know him. I think to myself, I don't want to just believe that he's the Son of God. I want to know him as the Son of God. I don't want to just know him as the creator of the world. I want to know him as Lord of my life. I want to know him as King of my life. I want to know him and the power of his resurrection, Paul said. I count all things but loss for the excellency of knowing him is what basically Paul was saying.
I pray this week's message has touched your heart. If you have need of prayer or would like more information, you can call Church 180 at 937-386-0333. Visit our website at www.church180.org or check out our Facebook page. Our church is non-denominational with a welcoming environment. Blue jeans are welcome, and so are you. Church 180 is located at 2556 Moores Road in Seaman, Ohio, right across from North Adams High School. We would love to have you come be part of our family. The services are Sundays at 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. This is Pastor Mike Parks praying you have a blessed week, and we'll see you next Sunday right here on C103.